From trucker talk to tales from the road and everything in between, it's time for Truck Drivers Talking Trash. Now your hosts, Cross, the Lady, and Sheldon.
And man, what a long week. Woo, long week. So how's everybody doing?
I'm good.
How about you, Sheldon?
I'm just chilling.
You're always just chilling. Man, what a crazy weekend. March Madness done started. Trump had a rally in Ohio.
UConn.
Oh, yeah, UConn. Yeah, they did their thing, too. North Carolina did their thing.
But UConn, Connecticut, UConn.
Yeah, and? Okay, they just made it. They won the biggies. They won it last year. Doesn't mean they're going anywhere.
Best team in the country, always. UConn.
First of all,
Ray Allen.
They're not undefeated.
Rudy Gay.
Stop.
UConn. This is Connecticut.
So what? They don't mean nothing.
It means everything. This is CT, the Constitution State.
Yeah. Okay. But I tell you one thing. It's going to be an exciting tournament. It's going to be a very exciting tournament.
Because of UConn?
No, not because of UConn. Because of the great teams.
Now, Connecticut makes basketball amazing.
Oh, man. You young. I remember...
Ray Allen? And,
woo! He's not even playing. He retired. He's sitting home getting fat.
Ray Allen's not fat, bro. He's out in Cromwell chilling.
You know, that man didn't think about...
Fight night.
But hold on. Before we get into that, Donald Trump had a rally this weekend in Ohio. This man don't lost his mind. But, people, you just got to come out and vote. Don't complain. Just come out and vote. Vote for whoever you want to vote for. But I just want y'all to come out and vote. You know, I'm not even going to repeat the stupidity what this man said. You know, the country's already divided enough. We don't need no more division in our country. We need to be trying to go to work. And, I can hear y'all. We're both moving. Yeah.
No, I feel okay. I can hear now.
Yeah. Oh, you know what?
No, my headphones were going back and forth.
Oh,
I couldn't hear.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So let's make a long story short, man. We just who's got the bird? Who got the bird chirping? You got the bird in here today?
Just change the subject and he'll stop.
Now you're changing the subject. No, I'm not doing that. Because people, please come on and vote. Please take it seriously. All right, if you really care about our democracy, just come on and vote. That's all I'm going to say. I don't care who the hell you vote for. If you care, you'll vote. All right, and then another big thing happened. If you don't put that phone down, that's what's beeping, your phone.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, feedback.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've had my phone out before. Don't do that. I've had my phone out before. Don't do that.
Don't do that. You don't hear the birds?
The birds are chirping.
tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Tim Kelly's coming on. All right. I got to tell you something this weekend that happened Sunday. I'm part of a union. I'm local 671 out of Bloomfield, Connecticut. I'm a Teamster. And we had a union hall meeting Sunday. Contract negotiation time. And I'm going to tell you something. Anthony, the business steward.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah. Yep, I'm good. Thank you. Sorry about that.
We had a little technical difficulties. Somebody's headphones are not working.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, they were kind of going back and forth a little bit. I just want to make sure I can hear.
Okay, all right. Now, let me get back to my story about the union.
Yeah,
so anyway, we had a beautiful contract meeting Sunday. Anthony and I think his name is Marty. So anyway, these gentlemen went to our job, and our job gave us a beautiful offer. I don't talk about, you couldn't ask for a better offer. And I want to take this time to thank Scott, Bruce, and Gary for putting this out there on Front Street instead of letting us wait. Got it over with. We voted on it. And just say, want to say thank you. You appreciate our hard work. You know, that's what it's about. Money's about showing how much you appreciate it. And that's what you did. You put your money where your mouth is. So I just want to say thank you for that. Just want to say thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
So the prices are going up now?
Hopefully. Hopefully.
What was your major part of your negotiation?
Inflation?
What mattered most to you?
Cost of living?
No, not even cost. Just raises, just regular stuff.
Inflation and cost of living?
No inflation. You know, just raises and pension stuff. That's all retirement stuff.
So even more inflation and even more cost of living.
Yeah, so what? That's part of life, brother.
Uh-huh. I mean, it must be nice being in the union.
No, yeah. Ain't nothing like being a Teamster. Uh-huh. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like being a Teamster.
Who's the team captain? Is it Trump?
No. Trump don't even like unions.
Trump doesn't like unions?
No, he don't. He's against labor.
Why doesn't he like unions?
I have no idea. I don't know the man.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
You know, no, he don't like unions.
Is it hard dealing with unions or what?
First of all, when he went to Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't go to the unions. He went to a scab shop.
I don't know what a scab shop is.
Oh, scab shop is non-union.
Oh, people. So non-union guys.
Yeah.
Guys that can't get in the union.
Well, yeah, people get, yeah, they get pimped. You get pimped.
So union guys don't get pimped.
Oh, no. We don't get pimped. Oh, no.
You guys do the pimping?
No. We work hard for the money.
When I think union, I think camaraderie. Like, you know, like y'all come to an agreement with what y'all need.
One thing about being in a union that I realize is that it's a lot of different personalities, and most everybody stick in their own corner.
Yeah.
You know, as a group.
Absolutely.
And that's all different. But
I think pride, like civil union almost, you know, like it's like a marriage kind of.
No, that's not the same, Sheldon.
Yeah. It's like the company and the employees have a marriage, and if they break up, they strike, or one gets half, you know? Because I saw, like, what happened with Stop and Shop.
That was ugly, though. They didn't want to give them nothing, though. That's the difference. Stop and Shop makes billions of dollars. Stop and Shop ain't broke. And the board didn't want to pay those people.
But with the truckers, I guess it's different because you need the trucks to run, the supplies, all that stuff. Oh, yeah. Remember COVID, all the backlogs and stuff?
Listen, this country,
Truckers. Run on truckers.
Everything you have on your body is delivered by a truck.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. If you have braces, it's delivered by a truck.
Or a rail.
Yeah. Still a truck guy picking up from the rail.
I mean, shipyards.
Still got to get delivered by a truck. That's it.
Because it goes, I don't know.
From
water
to the dock.
To train.
The train to a truck.
Yeah,
no matter how you cut it.
Unless you're the government.
It still doesn't work. You still need a truck.
But it's like the port's right there.
Still need a truck to move it. Still need a truck. Ask any military man, Marines, Navy, all have trucks to move that equipment. Anything else you want to know?
I don't know, I'm just here.
You just here.
Yeah, I'm just here.
You just here today.
Yeah.
You did your homework over the weekend. You had a whole week off.
Homework? You know, you don't want to know the homework I did over the weekend.
I probably
get canceled.
No, never mind.
You want to hear about the Nation?
No.
Lodge number 14?
No.
You want to hear about the NAACP guys that hung out with this weekend?
No. I do not want to hear about
You want to hear about what's going on in the Greater Hartford?
No. I don't want those going to Greater Hartford.
You don't want those problems.
I don't want no aggravation. Today,
yeah, let's keep it off the plantation.
Well, now it's a plantation. You hear this? You hear this, boy? He's off his medication today. Did you bring his medication? So besides that,
I don't need medication. I got a night nurse.
So, how's your mom's?
My family's good.
All right, good.
Yeah. We went to a restaurant that my cousin opened up in Hartford.
Oh. That's right.
Concrete Garden right across the street from CarMax. Best Jamaican food from here to Jamaica. And he's got the best vegan food, better than any vegan spot in the country.
You know what? We're going to go check it out. That's our date.
What, to go eat vegan food?
No, we're going to go check it out Friday. That's our date. Friday night.
They do like jerk chickpeas or?
You got to go. Don't start making up stuff.
Okay.
You got to go.
I saw that before.
Yeah. Well, this is different. Yeah, this is like, this is idol food, like straight from Jamaica.
Okay. Man. All right.
All right. I doesn't look at anybody, right?
There's more to eat than meat.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a gentleman named Tim Kelly coming on to the show today. He's going to talk about a little about real estate and
investing.
And we got Sheldon. He's going to talk about his cousin's restaurant. We're going to go there Friday. Then we have the Love Minute with
I think you and the lady should go.
I will go. Yeah. We're going to go. We don't need you.
Yeah, I don't want to come. I'm not invited. You know, I'm not inviting myself. You guys check it out. You know, I already know it's the best. Like,
oh man, here we go.
It's up there with like the Teamsters. You know, best union in the country.
Yeah, best union in the country. But we can't cook.
Sit down.
We don't cook.
What? Like I met them out in San Diego. Like Teamsters and all that stuff. Got like they do like parking and stuff too.
Oh no, that's not really that. We do all the movies. Mm-hmm. All movie theater. I mean, all Paramount, all the shows in California are done by Union. All the equipment that's moved was moved by Teamsters.
Yeah, I almost joined the Stagehands Union.
Yeah, that's all Union. Yeah, that's all Teamsters.
Yeah.
That's all Teamsters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And they take good care of them. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, because they get
hotel discounts, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. They take care of their workers now.
It's the Sunshine State for a reason.
And Nevada has one of the biggest food unions. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about the women's NCAA tournaments coming up.
UConn.
Iowa, South Carolina, LSU, Stanford. It's going to be some exciting basketball in the next 2 weeks.
I'm excited. I love basketball.
Oh, man. I can't wait. And the NBA playoffs, NBA starting to pick up.
Yeah.
It's getting close to playoff time for the NBA, too.
Your girl, what's her name? Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, Caitlin Clark.
She broke the record.
For men and women. She's the leading scorer.
Because the chick from St. Louis is out.
NCAA scoring record.
Yeah. The chick from St. Louis ain't around to block her shots anymore. Like, of course she can get some shots off.
Oh, I don't think she, first of all, the woman is the leading scorer in men's and women basketball.
Okay, she could shoot the ball in the hole. Like, everybody could shoot when there was nobody guarding them.
No. She's special. She's different.
Last year, she wasn't special when she was getting shut down by baby Shaq. Like, that female, like, she was like Shaq against her, bro.
First of all, everybody, it takes a team. But when you have a star, you're a star. And that's what she is.
Until
she's
you
a
go
star.
Against a brighter star, and that star can't shine.
Yeah, but...
LSU.
She's still a star.
She could be a star. She's like Pegasus compared to like a great white star or something.
No. She's a superstar. That young lady's a superstar. She probably go around.
I wouldn't say superstar.
And she reminds me of a young Steph Curry when he was in Daniels in college.
Okay, great. I like girls like Lisa Leslie, Rebecca Lobo.
Yeah, I like the inside game too, but.
Connecticut
is not the only team, bro. We know they top notch. We know they have a good school. We know they have a good coach. But see, I'm mad at Connecticut. I'm gonna tell you why I'm mad at Connecticut.
Because we don't have a professional team.
Why are you mad?
I'm mad because Connecticut had a young black coach and they fired him for no reason.
No reason?
No reason whatsoever.
Skin?
No.
Then what's the reason?
I don't know. But it made me upset. That made me mad.
And he won
a national championship with Connecticut.
Did they not broadcast the reason? Is that why it was for no reason?
Who knows, man. But he had to go for arbitration.
And
he won like $30 million against the state. Oh, taxpayers are paying that.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Because
it's a state school. Mm. And they reneged on his contract. So I guess we picked up his tab for $30 million, and they signed this Bobby Hurley's brother, who's the head coach of Connecticut now. Yeah, so that left a bad taste in my mouth, because Notre Dame did the same thing to Todd Willingham. We're about to have our first commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with that statement.
Now back to Truck Drivers Talking Trash. Join the party, 203-333-9422.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Truck Drivers Talking Trash show. We have a phone call on the line. Go ahead, Tyrone. Tyrone, you there?
Hello.
Did he hang up?
Better call Tyrone.
Call him. Well, why Rich signing Tyrone? Like I was saying, oh Lord, I forgot my thought. You just got jokes. Y'all got jokes today.
Listen, we got Tim Kelly. I'm staying in my lane. I don't have no jokes.
Yeah, we got Tim Kelly coming on. Active duty, passive income, board of director. Just an all-around good guy. American hero, former chief Navy petty officer.
Hey, Tim Kelly, you're there, young man.
I am here. What's going on?
What is going on, hey, Mr. Kelly? How you feeling?
How's it going, shipmate?
Man, I was confused for a second. I'm like, did my name change to Tyrone or what?
No. Tyrone was another caller that was supposed to be on the line.
And he hung up.
Yeah.
So how you doing, Mr.
Kelly? Good, man. I'm here, man. I'm ready to hang out with a couple of truck drivers talking trash tonight, Monday night. Let's go.
Monday night. You got energy, too. Thanks for the energy, baby. Hey, Mr. Kelly, are you born and raised in Connecticut?
No, man. I was actually born right outside the city of Chicago. So all my family's up there, but I reside in
Illinois.
Bay Area.
Ooh, fine line, I.
You a Bulls fan?
Ooh, man. Not now.
Of course, I'm a Bulls fan.
And
Bulls,
a team
Bears,
with the
Cubs,
Bulls, bro.
Blackhawks.
Mr. Kelly, how you feel about your college team in Champaign over there, the fine line I out of Illinois? How you feel about that college basketball team?
No, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm not going to pretend that I'm all about following the Final Four and March Madness, because I'm simply not. I'm just not really tracking it right now. I got a lot of things going on, but I was never a big fan of the Fighting Illini myself. I have a bunch of people that went there, but I'm not really sure, man. What's going on? Could you give me the scoop real quick?
Oh, man. They bust butt yesterday. They won the Big Ten tournament. They beat Wisconsin straight up. Great game. I watched it. Great game.
Well, I could talk crap because my sister went to, she was a Badger. She went to Wisconsin, so I'll talk crap to her, I guess.
Oh, yeah, man. But, Mr. Kelly, listen, we're not going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not going to bore you because, like you said, you don't even follow it. So, what we're going to talk about is what you like to do best.
Money, money, money.
Money. You like property.
Rolling in the green.
No. He like the dough. He like cash money. Go ahead, Mr. Kelly. Tell us about
what
this.
What in the world?
Come on, Mr. Kelly. Know what? We're going to call him Mr. No, we're going to call him Tim Got My Money. Tim Got My Money.
Show me the money, Tim.
So what's a good investment now, Tim? What's a good investment now for people who want to invest right now? What's a good investment?
Man, what is a good investment right now? You know, I would be crazy if I didn't lead with this. Invest in yourself today.
Absolutely.
First, so you know what to invest in tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So what the heck does that mean? I mean, I could say, invest in real estate. Invest in Bitcoin. We're about to have a halving event in April, which is about to double the freaking value of Bitcoin. I could talk about go invest in a startup, another cryptocurrency startup that I'm investing with, Unicoin. I could say go invest in any kind of tech startup, you know, based on your due diligence. But it's, you have to invest in what you know. And you have to be confident. You can't just say, oh, cool, okay, now I'm going to go invest. But there's a lot of different types of real estate, too. And that's really my bread and butter. That's what I've been focusing on mostly. And I teach other past and present military members and their families how to create wealth and financial freedom, owning more of America.
Awesome. Man. That's awesome.
Man, I must say, that's some good advice.
That's what we're all interested in. Yeah, we all want our piece.
You know, everybody wants a piece of something.
Listen,
you know, and Mr. Kelly, I think you're the man to talk to. So, Mr. Kelly, when you go to purchase property, what do you look for when you go purchase property? What do you be looking for, young man?
Yeah, man. So I just want to clear like a thing or two up. Is there's a big difference between residential real estate
and commercial
real estate, right? Okay. So residential real estate is like the home that a lot of people live in, just a single family residence, right? Single family home. Mm-hmm. Residential real estate also includes 1, 2, 3, or 4 unit properties, like a duplex, triplex, or fourplex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people that I'm surrounded by and a strategy that I used was I was house hacking. One of my first actual investment purchase was a 4-unit property with the intentions of living in one unit and renting out the other 3 and living mortgage free, but instead cash flowing every month.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize you can get a really good loan product like you can for a single family home. And especially if you're a veteran, you can get a 0% down loan using a VA loan and get a fourplex. You can live in one unit, rent out the other 3 for 0% down. You'll have 0 mortgage payment when you rent out the other 3 units. And instead of having a mortgage, you'll cash flow and your tenants will pay down your debt for you, which is how you leverage that debt, which is how the wealthy become financially free. Hey, it's not being debt free, it's being financially free.
Hey, Tim, what's free cash flow?
What's up, man?
What's free cash flow?
What do you mean, what is free cash flow?
I guess, what's cash flow? Like, what's free cash flow?
Yeah.
Well, once you got property.
Yeah, let's say that you own a property. Let's just keep it to, like, that 4-unit property. And your mortgage on it is $3,000. Like, you have a mortgage payment, let's say a PITI, your principal, your interest, your taxes and your insurance, usually all wrapped into the same what people refer to as a mortgage payment. Let's say that's $3,000. You live in one unit, but the other 3 units rent out for $1,333 each. So each of those units total, all 3 units will bring in a total of $4,000. So you living in one unit, and other people, those 3 tenants, are totally paying you, all in all, $4,000. And your mortgage payment is only $3,000. So now, I'm not going to say that you cash flow $1,000. Because you're going to have to, if you're paying a property manager, you could self-manage and save that 8 to 10% a month of gross income. But you have your maintenance, your repairs, capital expenditures, and things like that, because eventually you're going to have to replace the roof. Eventually you're going to have to replace the major appliances. Either way, when you deduct all those expenses, your cash flow is your income minus all your expenses and your maintenance and repairs. What's left over is your cash flow. And that's how a lot of people, the more properties you own, the more cash flow it is. And it's considered passive income. I don't think anything's really passive, because you always have to put some kind of work into it. But a positive cash flowing asset is a great way. How a lot of multimillionaires and billionaires become that way is they own cash flowing assets that appreciate over time.
You brought up passive income. Like, what's the importance of passive income as you get older?
Yeah, man. So, well, what's the opposite? The opposite is earned income, where there's only so much time that we have. And when people go to a job,
168 hours a week.
Yeah, man. Let's say they go to a job. They're working that 60 hours a week. That's earned income. You trade your time for money. But when you own property and it's creating passive income, you don't have to go to work to earn and generate that passive income. You could get one property a year for the next 5 years, have 5 properties that cash flow, you know, $1,500, $2,000 a month, whatever. And 5 years later, you got $10,000 a month in passive income that you could fall asleep, and that is making money for you while you sleep.
You don't have to go to work to
create that income. Passive income is you don't have to exchange your time. But, of course, it takes work. You have to learn. You have to network. You got to take action and do work up front in order to create passive income. Nothing's truly passive, meaning it's going to take some kind of your time because someone's got to manage it, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Hey, Mr. Kelly, how can people follow you? On Facebook or something? Could you have, like, what, over 10,000 followers or more?
Yeah, man, I got I want to go back and answer your question, like, what do I look for in a property? But I'm going to answer this immediate question first is you can follow me on Instagram at TheTimothyKelly. You can follow me on LinkedIn at the Timothy Kelly. My Facebook handle is at the Timothy Kelly. And you can go to my website, thetimothykelly.com.
All right, listeners, that's Mr. Kelly. So now, again, what do you look for when you purchase properties?
So the residential, I told you, is single family homes, right. 2, 3, 4 unit properties, like a duplex, triplex, fourplex. That's residential. Right. What I like are commercial assets. I like as many doors as you can get under one roof, like apartment complexes and mobile home communities and self-storage facilities, RV parks. So I like large commercial real estate that takes a team, and you could really leverage other people's money to purchase.
Oh, okay.
So I'd rather own maybe 10 to 20% of a $10 million property than own 100% of like a $200,000 or $300,000 property, if that makes sense.
So I got another question, Tim Kelly. Okay. Two guys, right? Dave Ramsey or Grant Cardone? Which one are you picking?
I mean, 100% Grant Cardone, because Dave Ramsey, that's my dude. Like, I
got the gas.
University on the deployment option. Like, you were there, man. Like, there's a very, very huge demand and a need for Dave Ramsey's education. He teaches the principles that we should have learned in school, the baby steps to how to really save, control your finances, and really become debt-free so you don't have personal debt and all these stupid loans. Like, so you're actually understanding the basic financial principles that we should all know. But if you're really looking to create financial freedom and time freedom, it's Grant Cardone, because he talks about leveraging debt and using other people's money and acquiring assets. He's a big time multifamily and apartment complex investor.
Hey,
I learned a lot from him when I first got into the game back in 2015.
All right, Mr. Kelly, hold on. We're going to go to our next commercial break. Just hold on. Stay with us, all right? Mr. Kelly, don't hang up. Well, we're going to a commercial break, ladies and gentlemen.
Now back to the conversation. It's Truck Drivers Talking Trash. 203-333-9422.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Truck Drivers Talking Trash Show. We have Tim Kelly with us on the show, and the music you heard in the background was the late, great Tyrone Davis. That song is dedicated to my family, to the Cross and Backus family. All right, Tim, we're back, young man. Go ahead.
I'm here. Welcome back, guys. I'm here. What's going on? What you got next?
Go ahead. Lady has a question for you. Go ahead, lady.
No, I was simply just wondering, you talked about having a team of people and preferring to invest, you know, with a group of people. What would it take to join the team? Or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And there's a lot of stories out there that, oh, man, you know, I'm maybe concerned about partnering with people, because how am I supposed to trust them with an investment like a multi-million dollar property or a business operation or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So back to the very first question that you asked me, you know, what would you invest in? And I said, you have to invest in yourself. And this is where this comes into play. This means get educated about that specific investment type or asset class. Let's say, for instance, you want to learn how to partner and have ownership in a large apartment complex, right? You just have to learn about how people get involved in that. Learn how to identify those good deals, how to analyze those numbers, how to raise capital, like maybe the legal structures, because when you're raising capital, you're creating what's called a security. So you need to work with a SEC attorney, a Securities and Exchange Commission attorney, who could really keep you out of legal hot water. So there's so much education out there. I've actually personally created the framework in our military community through a multifamily academy, where it kind of breaks all this education down. And so learning all of these things is going to help you figure out what role you want to play on the team. Now, someone has to, you know, find the deal. Someone has to run the numbers on the deal, because you get financial documents when you submit an offer, they'll give you all the financial documents to tell you how much money the property makes. And then you take all that income and you take all those expenses and you run the numbers. Somebody has to like raise the capital and be investor relations person. And somebody has to really manage the asset or manage the property manager, because you have like a boots on the ground property manager. And then you have an asset manager who's like managing the manager. So once you have enough education, you figure out, well, I want to be the one to talk to brokers and find the deal. And I want to be the one to maybe some friends or family, or I have myself have some capital. So maybe you want to bring some capital and you want to find the deal. Now you've got to identify, well, what's missing? Well, I need someone to underwrite the numbers and I need someone to manage the asset. So as soon as you know what you could bring to the table, and you have that self-awareness of what your skills and what your traits and characteristics are and how you could add value to a team, then you could find the partners, because then it's all about networking. You learn, you network, and you take action.
Is there a hub?
Learn and...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. Yeah, you learn, and then while you're learning, you surround yourself with other like-minded and like-hearted people who have the same goals, who want to succeed in real estate and change their family tree and leave a legacy, but maybe have different skill sets than you. I'm not the numbers guy. Yes.
She asked about a hub.
Is there basically like a hub where you can like...
I got you. Okay. So, I don't know, you have like different groups that meet up across the country and all this stuff. And
online platform
or like
to connect with people?
Online or in person.
Yeah.
Like if you were serious.
There's definitely, let's say, like Facebook groups out there. And there's definitely online platforms that kind of connect people, where there's forums and there's all kinds of like, you know, every city, major city, will have what's called a Real Estate Investment Association, REIA, or REIA.
Okay.
Where like all the local investors kind of get together. But this is one thing, you know, that I've been working so hard with my partners. We've created active duty, passive income, where it's a military real estate investing education community, where we have like 80,000 members in our Facebook group. And to answer your question, yeah, we have meetups all over the world where there's duty stations. And then we have annual conference where we bring everybody together, and we have all the education and resources and courses. We connect you with agents and lenders, and so there's definitely hubs online. And then obviously if you're past or present military, you know, we have the premier military real estate investing education community. But yeah, every city, like if wherever you're located, that's probably one of the best things to like learn about this stuff, is go find the people locally in your network, in your local community, who are actively investing, and then invest in yourself, see how they got their education, see what they're investing in. And then the more education you have, the more confidence you're going to have, and you can go network with confidence.
Okay, Mr. Kyle, I have a question for you. Who do you trust with that type of money? Who do one person control that money, or is there or a team that controls that type of money? Because we're talking millions of dollars now. We ain't talking hundreds of thousands. We're talking millions of dollars. So is that a one-person operation or a two-person operation?
Yeah, no. That's a great question. So, you know, one of the last deals, just kind of for a real-life example that I participated in, was a 92-unit apartment complex in San Antonio. And the purchase price was $22 million. And it was actually a Class A, very high, more higher end. But that was purchased using what's called a real estate syndication. So it was a deal, like basically a partnership split between general partners and limited partners. Now, the general partners are the ones who basically do all the work. The general partners find the deal, negotiate the contract, run the numbers, conduct due diligence, make sure everything's good, and they have a manager, and then they close the deal and they manage the asset. But what the general partners also do is that they have to raise all the capital or bring all the capital in order to close. Now, those limited partners are investors who are actively looking for these passive investing opportunities because, let's say they got 25 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand that they have. They're like, look, I want to invest, and I'm sick of the stock market. I don't want that volatility. I don't, you know, want to buy bonds or whatever. I want to invest in real estate. And this is one of the most passive ways to invest in real estate. And they take that their capital and they basically invest in the deal with those general partners. Now, those general partners must have a track record and demonstrate that they will be good stewards of capital. Otherwise, they won't be able to raise that capital. Now, that $22 million, about 65 to 70% of it was a commercial mortgage. Just like you leverage a mortgage to buy your single family home, it's the same thing for commercial real estate. You go to the Fannie Freddie institutional lender and you leverage 60, 65, 70% debt, and then you have to raise 30, 35, 40% of that capital. So then the money that had to be brought to the table was the general partners, they brought their own money, and then the limited partners also gave their money in, but they sit back and they got it made because they basically invest their capital and they don't do a darn thing. They collect what's called mailbox money. And they're getting 20% returns. Like, they're getting really, wow, really high returns, and they're getting a quarterly cash flow distribution check that hits their inbox
Tim,
every single quarter. Yeah.
How important is IRR?
So IRR is internal rate of return. So now that is the overall return that investors will see if they total up. They get a cash on cash return. Usually, like if you invest 100, cash on cash returns between like 7 to maybe 9%. So they'll actually see every single quarter, they'll see a 7, 8, 9% distribution based on the cash that they invested. But then the cool thing about real estate, which is one of the reasons why I love real estate, there is incredible tax benefits to owning real estate. The more real estate you own, the more the government incentivizes you, because guess what? There's certain behaviors like providing housing and providing jobs that the government absolutely sucks at. So if you do it, they incentivize you by reducing your taxable income. So when you're investing in these deals, not only are you receiving just that cash flow, that 7, 8, 9% cash on cash return, you're receiving tax benefits because you're an actual owner in the deal. And you receive a K-1 as an owner distribution that you give to your tax advisor that will reduce your taxable income. And then when the property sells, you're an owner. Guess what? You get a liquidity event. Whenever there's a sale or a refinance, you're getting another cash distribution on top of that. So the IRR is the total return that you get when you add up your cash flow, your cash on cash return, your tax benefits, and the final equity distribution upon exit or sale. Wow. So yeah, the IRR is usually around 20%.
Wow,
man,
it's solid. Yeah.
Hey, what about free cash flow?
What about it?
I've always thought like that free cash flow was what it was all about. Getting it from the top of the balance sheet down to the bottom and paying as little as possible.
Yeah, so the cash on cash return, that's really the cash flow that those investors are using. And when you have 92 tenants paying you rent every single month, you know, that's going to pay your mortgage, that's going to pay all the expenses, that's going to pay your property manager, and then there's going to be cash flow on top of that, that now the owners all split and then receive cash flow.
Would you twice?
Now, every single deal is different. You know, not all deals will. Go ahead.
I got a hypothetical question for you. Would you trust a 23-year-old finance graduate from a decent university with that much money?
I mean, that largely depends. I would never underestimate somebody just because of their age. I've seen, you know, a much more experienced investors, you know, turn into scam artists, create Ponzi schemes, you know, and I've seen some young bucks, you know, 21, 22, 23, find a lot of success because they didn't let their age determine their journey and their success in this game. And they are to be trusted because it's all about who they're surrounding themselves with. And you're not really just trusting one person. You're trusting the team that is formed to be good stewards of capital, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
So, yeah. Mr. Kelly, can I ask you a question? Have you ever took a terrible loss doing this?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
When do you cut your losses?
Yeah, I mean, what's that?
So, at what point do you cut your losses?
Well, so there's been a number of deals that I've been involved in. And when you get into real estate, you know, it's not that easy just to cut your losses. You usually are part of a commercial real estate asset and a team that's working to create cash flow and to create profitability for the team and the investors. So luckily it was, you know, some of my first deals where, you know, let's say, you know, the losses that we took was the first apartment complex that I ended up getting involved in when I was stationed in Pensacola. We bought an apartment complex in right outside of Mobile, Alabama, and we hired a property manager who basically promised us that to do a good job, and we vetted them and we thought they did a great job, but they ended up not, you know, following through with what they wanted to do. So they did. They lost us thousands of dollars over the course of about 6 months. But then we figured it out, and then we fired them and hired a different property manager that ended up getting us out of the hole and serving our community and our tenants properly and taking care of some of the maintenance and requests that were kind of just being deferred. And at the end of the day, you know, I ended up getting about a 400% return on that property, but it took a couple of years to realize that.
What did you look for in that replacement property manager?
Mr. Kelly, can you hold that thought? We have to go to a commercial break, and we'll come right back to that thought, Mr. Kelly.
Got something on your mind? So do we. 203-333-9422. Now, back to Truck Drivers Talking Trash.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Truck Drivers Talking Trash Show. We're here with Mr. Tim Kelly. I got your money. And we have Lady. We have Sheldon. Mr. Kelly, go ahead, young man.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. Man, as I recall, Sheldon, man, you asked, how do you identify, you know, a good property manager? Is that about right?
Pretty much. You know, is it an electrician? Is it a former plumber?
A trade skill would definitely help. Because that's one person you don't have to bring in from the outside.
Someone that's good at, like, figuring out when the rents are due.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Now, for this property specifically, you know, that we were kind of talking about, it was in a small town north of Mobile, Alabama. And that's one of the reasons why we kind of took a gamble on this other property manager, because we couldn't find a really good property manager who already managed apartment complexes in this area. So we kind of we took a gamble on a single family property manager who managed a bunch of single family homes, but it's different when you're managing apartment complexes. Exactly. So what we ended up doing is that when we were conducting due diligence, meaning you submit an offer on the property, you have like 30 to 45, even up to 60 days to conduct due diligence. And you don't have to close on the property. So you're submitting an offer contingent upon conducting due diligence to walk all the units and conduct due diligence on all the rent rolls and the leases, the lease audit, and do all these inspections. So anyway, during that due diligence phase, we always go into City Hall. and talk to economic development, planning and zoning, and we even try to get a meeting with the mayor, right, to show face, to start building those relationships and to get to know the community and let them know, like, look, we're purchasing this apartment complex because we care and we see opportunities here to help out your community. And that's exactly what we did. We bought the apartment complex and we beautified it and we added a lot of value to it. We got rid of some tenants who weren't good. We evicted some bad ones and put in some better ones. During that due diligence phase, the economic development rep was also a real estate agent who had property management experience. Because we created that relationship up front, we're like, well, now we're firing this property manager that didn't do a good job. Who do we know that might be able to help us? And we're like, hey, wait a minute. We connected with this lady in economic development. Long story short, we chatted with her and she knows the small town feel. She knows how the residents think. She's been in real estate for a while. She has experience. And so we offered her the opportunity and she did a phenomenal job for us, turning that place around and really providing clean, safe, affordable housing for that community. So, you know, that's kind of that specific situation. But, you know, for an apartment complex, you don't really need a property manager who's got, you know, trades experience, because it's more of operating a business and being the face of your asset, you know, knowing how to screen tenants, you know, and make sure that any person that comes in there and applies to rent your property isn't just, hey, I got $600 cash and I can move in today. But you want to look at their background. You want to look at their history. You want to look at their credit score. You want to maybe get some property manager references and stuff like that. So really the tenant screening and then, you know, making sure that they understand the fair housing, the local fair housing laws, mm-hmm. and the local tenant and landlord laws and the local eviction laws. That's also really important. I mean, there's a number of things, and but those are some big traits we look for when we're looking for property managers.
Would you purchase a home before you purchase an investment property? Would you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I personally ended up, you know, in 2011 when I was actually stationed in North Oakland. Sheldon and I were
on the
ship together.
Baton,
yeah,
LHD5.
So, that's right.
Home of the Spartans.
We served together. I bought a property in 2011 as a single family home as my primary residence, but that turned into a house hack. I literally rented out one of the bedrooms, and that paid almost half my mortgage payment, and then it turned also into a live and flip. While I was living there, I was adding value, fixing it up, put tile in the kitchen and the bathroom, like, and then I sold it for a profit, and then that's when I really had the money to start investing in it, which I ended up buying in that fourplex.
Nice.
But that's just my own journey. I ended up buying a single family home, you know, first, and then I ended up buying that fourplex and then a 42 unit apartment complex. But that doesn't mean that you have to buy a home first before you invest in even a large deal, whether it's a single family rental or whether it's a big apartment complex that you partner.
How do you? How long do you have to live there?
Yeah.
2 years.
2 years? Okay.
In order to rent it out?
Yes.
So are you talking about converting a single family home that you live in into a rental?
No. And the investment property, how long do you have to live there if it's like multiple units?
I don't think you have to live there.
You have to have the intentions of living in one unit for 6 months. You have to have the intentions of moving into one of the units for 6 months and one day if it's FHA. But for the VA loan, you have to have the intentions of living in one of the units for 12 months.
Okay.
But there's always a way out. And I want to emphasize the word intention of moving it.
Hey, Mr. Kelly. Listen, Mr. Kelly, I want to thank you for coming on to the Truck Driver Talking Trash Show. Man, you dropped a lot of knowledge on people who want to invest. To all the listeners out there, if you want to invest in properties, Call get Mr. Tim education. Kelly. Call Mr. I got your money, Mr. Kelly.
And then after 2 years, you can sell that house and make off with
Mr. Kelly, listen, thank you, young man, for coming to our shows and spending time with us. I mean, we appreciate that. And thanks for staying for the whole hour. I appreciate that, my friend.
Man, it was my pleasure. You guys are a lot of fun. I would love to chat with you again, and please reach out.
Please.
You,
man, oh, come on, Mr. Kelly.
Memorial Day, May 30th, Cromwell, Connecticut. May 30th,
Cromwell, Connecticut.
Memorial Day. We'll be there, parade and all that stuff.
So, Mr. Kelly, are you going to be in Connecticut?
Hit me up, man. Hit me up, man.
Yeah, for get sure. old school and come on.
Hey, Mr. Kelly, are you going to be in Connecticut?
I don't have intentions on being in Connecticut, but maybe that could change.
Intentions is the key word.
Okay. Well, listen. Again, thank you, Mr. Kelly, for coming to the Truck Drivers Talk and Trash Show.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a beautiful night. We catch you next Monday night.
Love
you. Be there or be square.